Morning. I am Gene Black. If you're visiting and you don't know me, I am not the regular minister here. I got a whopping 2 days notice from Steve, and I'm glad to be here. I'm from Lake Butler and worked with the camp for many years and got to know a lot of people in this congregation that I've truly grown to love and appreciate. I retired several years ago and started working with Steve. Prayers are appreciated. And I appreciate the leadership of this congregation invite. I spoke in Lake Butler about a month ago, and if you were there for our homecoming, you're going to have to hear this twice. On a serious note, I want you to think about it just a minute. I was fortunate enough to be raised in the Lord's church. Seen a lot of things happen. I was talking to Steve about in the foyer earlier. Been a lot go on with the church, from fires to crossroads, all the things that's happened in the church. It's comforting to know that the church will never go away. He said it'll be here forever. And that's a comforting thing. Probably one of the things that has bothered me the most over the years, I was raised in St. Augustine, to watch people come and go. For a couple to move into a area and they're in attendance with you at church for several years, and all of a sudden they just start coming, stop coming Wednesday night, stop coming Sunday night, and the next thing you know, they're gone. It bothers me how we handle it as Christians, how we respond to those people. It bothers me that they have certainly heard the Word of God. They know how church attendance is very important to them. And yet, something happens in life, and we can blame it on so many things. Lack of faith, somebody made them mad. The bottom line is they've quit coming. Well, about 4 years ago, we had a couple in Lake Butler who my wife and I were pretty close to. And they started what I was talking to you about. And we reached out to them strongly. Now they don't come at all. Well, when that happened, I started doing a little reading and research and what different ministers say about this particular problem. And this one writer made a statement that sort of stuck with me, and I want to talk about that statement this morning. He said this: every Christian in the Lord's church should do an evaluation of their life to see if they're living by the clock or the compass. Let me repeat that. Every Christian in the Lord's church should evaluate their life and see if they're living by the clock or the compass. Now, I really didn't know how to take that. Thought about it. And I want to talk about that this morning. The clock or the compass? I guess the best thing to do is first evaluate each instrument. Look at it. See what it's all about. The clock. Nowadays, everybody looks at their cell phone. Some have wristwatch. Think about the clock for a minute. It's a very complex instrument that tells us the passing of time. It tells us what time it is. It doesn't create time. It doesn't give us time. It doesn't predict how much time we have left. It simply measures the passing of time. In our society, in 2022, I think I'd be safe to say that the clock is an instrument of anxiety and stress. It can't predict how much time we have left because it can't predict the interruptions yet to occur in our life. The clock controls when we get up in the morning, how we live our lives, how fast we push. At times it even dictates how fast we drive. It dictates our schedule. And sadly to say, sometimes it alters our priorities. When a person asks you, what time is it? More often than not, is a question out of anxiety as opposed to curiosity. The clock, very powerful thing in our life. The compass. Now, unless you're an outdoorsman or been in the military, you may not be totally familiar and appreciate the compass. I didn't until I went into the military. You couldn't live without it back then. Nowadays, they have different means by which to find your way. I went to basic training in 1974. Back then, it was 8 weeks long. Went to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. First several days is in processing, getting shots, what have you. And then we get down to the training. We learn how to march. We learn how to be a team. Then we got into the recognition of enemy tanks and planes and what have you. And then we got on the rifle range, which was the most enjoyable to me. We would march out every day, 5 miles. Shoot on the range all day and come back. Well, about the 6th week of basic training, drill sergeant told us, he said, we're going to have class training today, which was a bummer in my eyes. I didn't want to sit in the classroom. And we talked about the compass. One full day. How to shoot an asthma. How to shoot a back asthma. What's a proper way to take a compass and get where you want to get. And we went on, started back with rifle range, and got down to a week before graduation or close to it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, we got this thing licked. And one morning, we ate breakfast, and he loaded the whole battalion in several, what we call, deuce and a half and five ton, which is a truck with a canvas on it. And we rode and we rode and we rode. And we got to the spot and we unloaded. And he said, gentlemen, I'm going to give you a piece of paper. It's got an asthma on it. He said, you find the first point and it'll have another asthma. 7 different asthma. And I'm talking about in wood, y'all. It was some swamp. Some pine trees, but it was some of it was pretty thick. And what you do is a squad of men, 9 to 11 strong, you pick what they call a pace counter. Basically, he'd take steps. That was 1 yard or one. And most of the spots that we were trying to get was usually 1,000 to 2,000 meters long. Now, let me tell you something about shooting an asthma. You can shoot an asthma if it's 180 degrees and you go 183 from here to the parking lot. That's not bad. 2,000 yards out, you're 200 or 300 yards from your point. So you can get lost pretty close. But we went right to that point. Never forget, little 4x4 in the ground. On it was a plastic cover that had our next number. I saw how invaluable the compass was. I think about our men in World War II that landed on the beaches of Normandy. That's all they had to get to Bastogne, to get to Germany. Compasses was very important. Its primary purpose is to provide us with direction. I don't care how expensive, or inexpensive, how complex or how simple the instrument is. They all do the same thing. They point north. But by pointing north, it enables a person to have a sense of direction, something they can trust in, something they can put their faith in. Because the compass provides certainty in times of uncertainty, it's an instrument of comfort, of reassurance. I looked at all this and studied the real meaning of what a clock means to us, what a compass means to us. I got to thinking about it. The Word of God, the Bible, is our compass. It's not a clock. And you might say, well, why do you refer to the Word of God as a compass? Because its primary purpose is to lead you to God, to point you to God. Jesus Christ is the needle of our spiritual compass, who always, without fail, points us to God. I don't know about you, but sometimes we've lost our sense of direction. We're disoriented. We're confused about what's going on in our life. We don't know which way to turn. The Bible focuses on Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ points you to God. I'm going to give you some examples of this in the Old and New Testament. Look at the nation of Israel. What do you think the primary purpose of what went on in Egypt and the plagues, what was the primary purpose of that? Some would say, well, to convince a hard-headed Pharaoh to let God's people go. Well, there's more to it than that. I think God was making a statement to the Israelites, to people who really didn't know him. Look what he said in Ephesians 6 chapter, verse 6 and 7. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I'm the Lord. And I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with outstretched arm and with great judgment. And then I'll take you as my people. And I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God that brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. One of the primary purposes of the plagues was to provide a sense of direction for the Israelites. What was the primary purpose of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai? As God descended on that mountain that day, I think one of the purposes was to establish the identity of God to people who really didn't know him. And to give them a sense of direction that would lead them to God. As we all know, they crossed the Red Sea. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years due to lack of faith. Then it came time for them to cross over into the land of Canaan. At this point in time, Moses had passed away. Joshua was leading them. When they got across, he made a statement in Joshua 24:10. And he challenged them. He said, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose this day who you may serve. Whether it be the gods that your fathers serve, which is beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites on land which you live. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What was the purpose of that? Think again, primary purpose was to give them a sense of direction and a challenge that would lead them to God. Let's look in the New Testament. What's the primary purpose of Jesus' death on the cross? I think it was to establish the identity of a living God who loves sinful people so much that he would send his only begotten Son. and to provide a sense of direction that would lead all men, not just the Jews, but all men to him. What was the primary purpose of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I think it was to establish the identity of a living God who not only would redeem his people, but would raise them from the dead. And to provide a sense of direction that would lead us to God when we live in a world that denies God. Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they did just that. In Acts, we have a record of some of that evangelism. What was the primary purpose of that? I think it was to establish the identity of a living God, not only to the Israelites, but to every mankind, and to provide a sense of direction that would lead people to God. That's just a couple of examples in the Bible. Folks, Jesus Christ became the needle of our spiritual compass because he never lost his sense of direction. He always faced and followed God. You think about it, you study, nothing ever deceived Jesus Christ. Nothing ever led him off the course God had set for him. If you think about it, starting with his baptism, John the Baptist, he came up out of the water, a dove descended on him, said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased, and he immediately, the Spirit led him into the wilderness where he was for 40 days and 40 nights. And by the way, he didn't eat or drink. Now, this wasn't some superhuman being. Jesus Christ was a man. God wanted him to experience what we experience. He was hungry. I imagine he was very weak by then. And it was at that time, when he was the weakest, that Satan attacked. And I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you're son of God. You got a lot of work to do. Here's a rock. Why don't you turn it into bread? Jesus responded with scripture. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he went on to tempt him, but Jesus stayed right on course. Daily, he was almost daily, he was ridiculed by the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he was mocked. He stayed right on course. He had to put up with his disciples arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus didn't get fed up. He stayed right on course. When it came time for crucifixion, the 12 men that watched him daily, watched the miracles, watched the many great things he did, one of them betrayed him. One of his closest denied him three times before daylight. He never lost course. When he was hanging on the cross, folks were talking about Jesus Christ who could have called all this off real quick. When he was hanging on the cross, all that pain he endured, he stayed right on course. Hebrews 4:15, the writer tells us this. For we do not serve a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we, yet without sin. He is the needle of our spiritual compass. God says, you live your life. And you want to identify with God, start with Jesus Christ. As we struggle in life, and we all do, and you want direction that will lead you to God, start with Jesus Christ. Jesus himself declared in John 14:10 to Philip, He said, do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father abides in me? The words I tell you are not from my own initiative, but from my Father that abides in me as he does his good work. I'm going to close with some statements, and I want you to know right up front, these statements are not to put you on a guilt trip or make you feel bad. The thoughts I'm fixing to provide you is to get you to really think about your life and your relationship with God. Folks, is your life ruled by the clock or the compass? If you're really honest with yourself and examine each segment of your life, is the clock or the compass in control? Is what's happening right now in your family relationships controlled by the clock or the compass? Is what's happening at work controlled by the clock or the compass? Is what's happening in your mind and in your heart right now controlled by the clock or the compass? I got to offer a warning here. Clocks run down. Time runs out. But the compass will always be present. When we meet God one day, and we all will, there'll be no clock there. But the compass will always be present. If your life follows the same course of direction it's on right now, where are you going? If the feeling you have in your heart right now remains the feeling, the same, where are you going? If things continue to happen in your family as they are happening right now, where's your family going? If your pleasures of right now, if your priorities of right now never change, where are you going? And I'll leave you with this question. Does your life have a course of direction that leads you to God in every circumstance, every day? Do you live by the clock or the compass? That's my lesson. I hope it affected you the way it did me. This is a time where you can evaluate what's going on in your life. If you need help from the congregation, 200 prayers is a lot stronger than one prayer. You have an opportunity at this time. The leadership in this congregation will be more than happy to help you and pray with you. Every member sitting in this congregation, I'm sure would. Whatever your need this morning, please come as we stand and sing. Creed.